Hey everyone, how's it going? My name is Matt Jarbo. Welcome back to Milk Carton Mysteries. Today is the 19th of January 2021. Sorry for my delay. I say this every week. I'm having trouble keeping up with it. It's unfortunately life keeps getting in the way. I know that the predominant listeners of the show are women. I have a three-year-old that we are transitioning from a crib to a bed, and I have a 18-month-old. So you guys know how hectic life can be in trying to make it all work sometimes just simply has a bit of issues. But anyway, that's what's going on with that one. I'm making an effort, but if I slack, there we go. I might compensate by dropping a couple episodes of Stranger Days, which is something I've been writing and recording once a week. So that is up as well. All right, so today we got a banger of a program to get to. There's a lot to talk about. Alexis Sharkey, the 26-year-old Houston influencer who died mysteriously. We now have her cause of death. A mom was found shot to death in her car while her baby was inside, but the baby is fine. A woman is missing who has dementia, and it's possible that she's been kidnapped. And then in odd news, and I just wanted to talk about it because it's a mystery and it's a crime, a couple in Myrtle Beach busted making a little homemade brown chicken brown cow at a theme park, because, you know, I mean, hey, it's COVID, right? It's a pandemic. Why not head out there and shoot a naughty adult video around some children? That of course is what we're going to be talking about today. So if you guys haven't already, please head over to Instagram.com/MilkCartonCast to join the team over there. Get in on the action. Keep up with the podcast. You guys can also support the show on patreon.com/MattJarbo is a great way to do that. If you like what I do, I would love to make this my full-time thing and have nothing in the way of talking about crime and death and murder all day long, because I'm apparently a weirdo like that. But if you listen to this, you're probably one too, which is awesome. Welcome to the party, pal. We have cake and pie. Or punch and pie, if I'm going to quote an old South Park reference. But okay, let's dive into it here. You don't want to hear me ramble. So this article here coming in from the New York Post says, social media influencer Alexis Sharkey's cause of death revealed. Her naked body was found along a Texas roadway after she went missing over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And it turns out now she has been strangled to death, officials announced on Tuesday. The Harris County Institute of Forensic Sciences ruled Tuesday that the 26-year-old Houston resident's death was in fact a homicide. And the thing is, I don't think anyone out there thought that it wasn't a homicide. There was people out there that I saw make the claim that she had actually died from an overdose. You know, that she had gone out, she had partied a little bit too hard, she died from an OD. I've heard those claims made. She was found dead and naked and discarded. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to freak out if there's a dead body and then just kind of throw them somewhere. I get that. There's been movies where that's kind of been the entire, you know, plot line. However, in this particular case, nothing about this screamed, to me at least, nothing about this screamed anything less than homicide. Now, of course, who did it? That's going to be the question of the hour. That's going to be what so many people are going to be talking about. So here's what we know in case you need a quick recap. Sharkey went missing on November 27th, and her death has been shrouded in mystery ever since. This is from the article. Her mother originally told local media that she left the house that evening following a fight with her husband and that she did not take her car. The next morning, around 8:30 a.m., municipal workers discovered her nude body, which had no visible wounds, on the side of the I-10 service road. This location is just 3 miles away from the apartment that she shared with her husband, Tom, and is right off the same thoroughfare where she had been found. So it's like, it was a quick discarding of the body. Very quick. It was very, it's very close by to where she lived. Now, following her death, her friends spoke out about her relationship with Tom Sharkey, the husband, alleging that she'd been planning for a divorce and had grown afraid of him. The hubby later claimed that there was no rift in their marriage. In fact, his Facebook feed, from what I saw over on the True Crime Society group, it very much played out like a guy who's just like, he's mourning the loss of his wife. Is it real? Is it fake? We don't know yet. I don't want to be callous and like not take this dude's feelings into account or not acknowledge his emotions. But I'm sitting here going, From an outsider perspective, homie, it kind of looks like you might have done something a little bit on the naughty side, okay? That's what it comes across like. We've seen this time and time again. This is a standard script, a standard playbook for when couples get into fights. I'm just saying. I know it sounds terrible to say. But anyway, her mother, Stacey Robineau, did say here that she had to fight Tom for access to his late wife's body after he stopped communicating with the family for 2 weeks. So that's also another thing that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good at all for Tom in regards to public opinion. I'm just saying public opinion. I'm not talking about the actual law enforcement investigation. Simply just public opinion. If he's fighting with the family over them getting access to her body for a couple weeks because he went silent on them, there's questions there. Now, granted, it could be that the parents may have said something that had gone and made him out to be the bad guy, that had gone and made him out to be the villain, and then he just didn't want to deal with that, which is an entire it's a viable theory. Okay, it's a viable theory on that front, but we don't know. Now, according to the medical examiner's report, Tom was originally listed as the next of kin, but that was changed sometime later to her parents. The Houston medical examiner said the autopsy report will be available after law enforcement concludes the case. So those of us in the true crime world who like to read the autopsy reports, and I know there's a couple people in the Facebook group that like to read autopsy reports, you're going to have to wait until we have a definitive conviction and a closing of the case. So you're going to have to wait a little bit of time. But the Houston Police Department here have said that there have been no arrests made or charges filed, and the matter is still under investigation. So quite frankly, they probably don't want to deal with the people that, the armchair detectives out there that are going to be pointing the finger at the husband. And look, to be fair, a lot of us, we get things wrong. Let's be realistic. We do. We get things wrong. My gut on this one is telling me that, something's up with the husband. That's what my gut's telling me. I don't know what your gut's telling you. It could be something entirely different. And of course, I want to hear what you have to say, because in these situations, I think it's all sorts of crazy. I think it's all sorts of nuts. I feel really bad for Alexis and her family. She was young, 26 years old, dying nude and strangled to death and thrown away on the side of a freeway. Exit is just, it's just terrible, man. It really is. It really is. But as always, I want to hear your thoughts and your opinions, so be sure to let me know. So let's talk about something that's equally terrible. This is equally terrible. This is coming in from truecrimedaily.com, who are sourcing it from, a local Spanish Lake, Montana or Missouri, outlet, KTVI. This is a live baby, dead mom, found in car in St. Louis area. That's an insane headline, isn't it? Live baby, dead mom, found in car. So let's find out more. There's not much information, but I do feel that it is worth talking about. So this is from Spanish Lake, Missouri. A mother was found shot to death inside her vehicle Monday morning. The woman's 8-month-old baby was also discovered in the car, but alive. So that's fantastic. The dead baby's always kind of, I hate that. I hate that in these stories when the child dies. It's terrible that the mom died too, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you're like, oh, phew, at least the baby's alive. Sharita Brooks, 30 years old, was found parked in a vehicle with at least one gunshot wound at the 1600 block of Claudine Drive. The infant appeared to be uninjured, but was taken to the hospital for routine examination. It was not immediately clear if the child has been reunited with family members, according to this report. And the St. Louis County Police Officer Tracy Panis here says, we have a 30-year-old woman. We have no ties to that immediate vicinity there. We're not sure why she was in that area to begin with. And the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports that she lived at the 1000 block of Pennsylvania Avenue in University City, which was 12 miles away from the crime scene, and it's currently being investigated as a homicide. So what do we think about this? That, of course, there's not a lot of information here. 30-year-old woman found dead, shot to death in her car, 8-month-old child left alone. She was 12 miles away from her home. Police have not been able to identify why she was in that area. She has no ties to that area. So what exactly was she doing there? Well, my question immediately goes to, as I'm sure yours goes to, well, what does her cell phone tell us? What does her social media tell us? Obviously, the authorities at this point are looking into that. The authorities right now are absolutely diving into that. And what are they going to discover when it's all said and done? What are they going to find when they get into her phone? Was her phone even in the car? Was her identification, was her purse or any kind of backpack or satchel or something? Was that taken? You know, I mean, these stories are all, you're always going to ask these questions because we're naturally inquisitive people. It's why we like true crime. And that, of course, is going to be something that I think a lot of people are going to be asking here. So, of course, as the Sherita Brooks murder moves forward, I will do my best to keep you in the loop. Remember, if you have any information on this that you want to share with everybody, facebook.com/groups/the milk carton is the best way to get in on the action over there to let us know. That way I can keep up to date because I cover so much true crime as time goes on. I'm not going to lie. I do overlook stuff. So that is just, that's my plea to you to help keep me up to date. Okay. Let's talk about this, this missing persons case out of Rocky River, Ohio, where we have a woman with dementia who is missing. The police are currently searching for her. This is coming in from News5Cleveland.com. Says here that Rocky River police are asking for the public's help in locating a missing woman with dementia. Diane Morgan was removed from a nursing home without authorization, according to the cops. Police said that they are looking for two individuals named Dawasia Muldrow and Moet Griffin. Morgan could be with either of them. Muldrow drives a red Beamer with a license plate number HWB6644, and Griffin drives a silver Hyundai with license plate number HTX9395. They are believed to be headed towards the Youngstown, Ohio area. And of course, anyone with information on this one, please reach out. Contact local authorities at 440-331-1234. That is 440-331-1234. This woman is, this right now is blowing up in the Ohio area, which is how I came to learn more about it. It's definitely one that people are talking about. A woman with dementia being removed from a living facility without authorization with two people that could be heading towards Youngstown. The question then becomes, why are they related? Are they family? Are they friends? Are they long-distance relatives? Is there money at play? Why would they take her? I mean, there are so many questions that I have here, and of course, none of them are going to be answered right now. Again, if you know anything about this, do not hesitate to contact the authorities, 440-331-1234, and I really hope that they bring back Diane Morgan soon. I can only imagine. Just, it's terrible when the elderly are also targeted, too, so I just... I'm kind of like, I'm antsy for her. Does that make any sense to you guys? I'm just antsy, like, no, you got to get her back. You got to bring her. I just don't like this kind of stuff because, you know, it's terrible. It's terrible. People suck. Let's be fair. All right. So finally today, I know we're kind of blazing through this episode. I apologize. There's just, the stories are kind of quick, not much info, but this one's kind of funny. I wanted to end today talking about this, a couple that's been accused of having sex on Myrtle Beach Skywheel ride in a community pool to make homemade porno videos. This is coming in from WBTW News 13 coverage you can count on. And this is what they say here. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A couple has been accused of having sex on the Myrtle Beach Skywheel and in a community pool to make videos for a popular porn site. Eric Harmon of Surfside Beach and Lori Harmon of Lexington, both 36, face multiple charges after police say they saw videos of the two having sex in public on a pornography website. So it wasn't like they were caught in the act. Somebody was surfing around, getting ready to fire off some knuckle children, came across this thing, reported it to the cops. My question then becomes, and I have to ask this because I have a very twisted mind, did he finish first and then call? I just have to ask that question. Anyway, Myrtle Beach police opened an investigation into indecent exposure on January 12th, and they said they found the videos. In one video, the couple is having sex inside a gondola encased with glass and in view of the public on the Skywheel ride. The incident happened on or around January 2nd. In another video, the couple is seen having sex in a community pool in the Surfside Beach section of Horry County, and Lori Harmon is seen exposing herself while sitting on top of a vending machine, along with other lewd acts. Okay. Exposing herself while sitting on top of a vending machine. What the hell? Like, those things are 6 feet tall. I mean, what's the point? I can understand getting on, like, you know, like a hotel dryer or something, or like an apartment building dryer. Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get too much into it, but it's like a vending machine. Now, look, I will fully admit I'm a dangerously curious person. I kind of want to see what that is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to seek it out. But if it came across my desk, I'd go, okay, and mark it off the list. Now, both Eric Harmon and Lori Harmon can be seen exposing themselves and performing sex at the community pool in the video. The actions were recorded by both defendant and co-defendant and uploaded to the adult website during Christmas break on or about December 23rd, 2020. So what is the popular adult website? I'm pretty sure it ends with a hub or a videos or whatever, but most likely hub. Lori Harmon faces 3 counts of indecent exposure, 2 counts of participation in preparation of obscene material, and malicious injury to personal property. She was released from the J. Rubin Long Detention Center on an $18,000 bond. Malicious injury to personal property. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess the pool. Yeah, that would be malicious because they have to clean it out now and all that stuff. And never mind the cleaning down, the wiping down, the sanitization of the Skywheel. I get that. Eric Harmon, on the other hand, has been charged with 2 counts of indecent exposure and 1 charge of participation in preparation of obscene material. He was released from the same detention center on a $14,000 bond. Now, here's my question, because it's kind of funny. Now, he's from Surfside Beach. She's from Lexington. They're both 36. They both have the same last name. It is obvious that they're implying that they're married. Okay. It's obvious that they're implying that they're married, but they live separate. They decided to make these movies. I don't know. Maybe, look, one of the key taboo things on these websites, if you go to these websites, and I would assume, look, you're probably over the age of 18. According to the analytics I have of this podcast, you're over the age of 18. And I'm pretty sure you, like most people over the age of 18, you know, like a little you time. You know what I mean? You like a little you time. You like to be able to kind of get, you know, unwind after a long day. Okay. I'm not going to go too far into it, but I'm just saying, you get what I'm nudging at here. And so you've seen what's on the front of these things, right? You've seen what's on the front of these websites, like what the most taboo form is. I don't get why that's the case. But that is where we are. So then my question becomes, what kind of videos were they making? And also, is this only going to bolster their popularity online? You know, like what's going to be the offset of this one? The videos that they've made that aren't in violation of public obscenity laws, are those going to end up being more popular now on these websites? So I don't know. I mean, they say there's no such thing as bad media, bad publicity. There we go. That's the word. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that because I found that to be really funny and remarkably stupid. But that, of course, is the world we live in. And it's kind of nice with the severity of the other stories I talked about on today's episode to kind of end it with more of a lighthearted, what the hell sort of situation. And so, yes, of course, that brings me to the end of today's episode of Milk Carton Mysteries. So I do appreciate you guys getting this far. I appreciate you guys listening. And I appreciate you being part of this experiment that I'm working on. As I said at the beginning, I'm trying to be more on the proactive part of it. I love talking about this kind of stuff and I love diving in. The problem is, and I'll be honest, this is kind of my confessional at the end. The biggest problem is when I'm diving into these things to do it every day. It's difficult because I start going down these rabbit holes and they take up a lot of time. And that becomes the biggest problem of them. So I just want to be, that's where I'm coming from, that and having the kids and everything else, my job. If I fall behind a lot of times, it's just life gets in the way. So I appreciate those of you who still stick with me. I appreciate those of you who have just recently joined the group and those of you who have been following on Instagram. I appreciate you. That's how I want to end it. Have yourself a great day, everybody. Stay safe this week. It's going to be a bumpy one here in the States. But as always, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have yourself a great day. Thank you again for watching. And peace the hell out.